Rob Stone from Fox Sports.
Hey guys, this is Cole Liker.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
You are listening to the Unused Substitute.
The Unused Substitute.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Ball's gonna bounce down, it's three in the box. Bicycle kick! Goal! Rowdies! What a play! What a shot! And it's 1-0 Rowdies!
Good evening, everybody. It's Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. A little bit late start, but we're here nonetheless. This is the Unused Substitutes live on Radio St. Pete and part of the Beautiful Game Network and sponsored by Roughneck Scarves. My name is Matt, and across the internet from me is a guy who just got home a little bit after I did, and we're both rushing to get things organized and going tonight. Dan, how you doing?
I don't know. I've talked way too much today.
We'll come back and cover that in a second, because I still don't know what it was you were talking about and you mentioned this morning. But we got up to a little bit of a late start because we were both running behind getting home and getting things organized. And would it help if we kind of reverse the order and did the second thing first and the first thing second today?
Definitely.
All right. So for those of you guys who read our now monthly digital magazine, The Bench, we had an interview with Georgie Ristoff running last weekend about his new project, basically an indoor futsal league across Tampa Bay. It was based on an interview that our top contributor Jake did with him earlier last week. So for those of you guys who haven't had a chance to read it or just missed the sound of Georgie's voice, we're going to play the interview for you, and then we'll come back and do our regular show stuff. All right, Dan, so cue the audio, and we'll join you guys back in about 23, 24 minutes or so.
Here we go.
Hey, Georgie, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Great. I take it you've been a busy guy then, now that we got your announcement finally.
Yeah, it's madness because, you know, the size of it, the way I want to do it, it's not that easy. And the organization and preparing for everything takes a lot of running around, you know, and knocking on each other's door.
Yeah. Is this something that you've had in mind or were working on even before you retired?
It was an idea when I was still playing. I kind of never really want to share it with someone. I was just curious why there's no futsal in Tampa Bay. I know there's certain places they do it once in like little kind of tournaments here and there, but there's no one that can cover the whole Tampa Bay and one that's gonna be, you know, kind of nice to win. You know, me growing up, we used to have that. You know, I played for really, before I moved to a bigger city, I was in a smaller city and I still play for a club team. But outside of that, between the schools, we would organize futsal tournaments and it was so competitive and fun. It was so different and it was amazing. It was a great, it's something that I remember, you know. So if I remember it, that means it left something good for me. And again, I know people that do in the northern states when it's really cold there, and it makes sense. Off season usually for kids is in the winter. Well, like, you know, there should be something here during the summer when it's, I mean, the winter in the north is like the summer here in the Florida. You know, you don't really want to stay outside much.
Yeah. Yeah. So for people, I mean, who didn't see the your announcement yet, you're launching a futsal league. Tampa Bay Premier Futsal League is the name. So, I mean, just kind of give me, like, the overview of what the league is and, like, how it'll operate over the summer and what are your goals with the league?
Well, I'm going to start with your last question. The goal is to establish something for the future for the growing young footballers to do something in the summer, which is at the same time not too much. But it's 8 games, you know, it's 8 weeks, it's on Sundays only, so it's convenient for parents as well. It's something that I firmly believe is necessary because futsal, as I've said, it's not, the goal is not taken away from the big goal, which is soccer. It's a tool that helps soccer players. It's different. It's very beneficial, and I think kids need it. It's almost like you want to become a good guitar player, but you know, you gotta play acoustic guitar as well, not just electric guitar. So it should be great. And as I said, I know kids sometimes need off from soccer, but you know what? Once the season is over, there's not even a week after that that they want to play again. So that's why the futsal comes. So it's a bit different from them, and they look at it from a different perspective. But at the same time, it's super beneficial in a very, very natural way because there's not much talking in terms of, like, coaches. You just let the kids play 5v5, really small sites. The ball is 30% less bounce than a regular soccer ball, so it doesn't go out of bounds that often. And you got to make much quicker decisions, and there's a lot of touches. It's like 3 or 4 more times more touches in a 40-minute game than a soccer game, than a regular soccer game, in a 90-minute soccer game. So I think it's great. It should be super fun. There's going to be referees. Should be done. I want it to be done in a proper way. And as I said, I want it to cover all ages, but starting from U9, U19 boys, and of course, girls as well.
Mm. Yeah, all the way up to U19, right?
U19, yes.
Man, that's a big, wide, huge tournament.
Yeah,
a lot of ages.
We'll see how it goes. I don't mind if we start slower the first year. Right. I don't want to force it too much. I want to make it grow very organically. There's certain clubs that has come in touch with me, which I still would not want to mention, which is great because there's a big reach through them. I really believe that good coaches know the idea of futsal. And again, it's not a different club, it's not a competition. I'm actually helping all the soccer clubs in the area to have their players still do something and maintain something in the summer, but in a different way that's gonna benefit them from a different perspective than the actual soccer training. So, as I said, I want to grow it organically, and you know, it was a lot of grind for me to have it, you know, have the actual, you know, the proper name, the logo, everything that was done was my ideas. The logo was artwork by my wife. She's very good at that. She's been into art a lot. So the logo is kind of looks like a hurricane, which, as we know, Florida, you know, we have something in common. And with the bow in there, I think it's very, very simple. It's blue, like, you know, the blue waters and the blue sky in Tampa Bay. So I think it all makes sense.
Right, yeah. So when did you personally, when did futsal enter your life as a player, and maybe how did it benefit you as a player?
It was on and off. It has never been actually out of my life. Most of the time when I go back in Bulgaria, which was usually in the winter, in off seasons with the Rowdies, it's really cold in Bulgaria. You know, there's a lot of snow and that outside. So me and my friends, the actual friends that I grew up and they were the reason for me to start playing soccer when I was probably 12, 10 years old. We would always get together and go into the sala, as we call it. It's a indoor facility gym with small, like a, I don't know if you know the sport handball, that's the size of the goals,
yeah,
the actual goals for futsal as well. So
yeah,
we'll always go there and have fun and play 5v5 or sometimes even 6v6, but it gets a little crowded. So 5v5 is the ultimate. And it's great. It used to be my main maintenance, kind of staying in shape thing during the winters when I go back in Bulgaria. Obviously, it gets really cold. It's really cold there. So we'll get indoor, play with the friends, and it's a great workout. You're involved all the time. You know, you're always close to the ball. It's actually better than any other program. All the coaches, you know, they can excuse me for saying that, but it's so much better than doing all the programs we were given in terms of like doing our runs and stuff like that. I always felt better doing that. It's the closest you get as a skill training with my teammates is doing that indoor, you know. I love to put on my indoor shoes, which are different than the turf ones. You know, they have a flat bottom, and it's great. I couldn't wait to go and play that, you know. But as I said, when I was a kid, we used to do this in between the schools in Bulgaria.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I want to mention that it's not even as big as what it is in South America. In South America, you know, it's all they do.
Mm-hmm.
And even in Spain and Portugal, those countries, I mean, any big soccer player in the world, especially the best ones, are, if you, you know, go online and check, you see that they went through that and they have benefited from it big time. Especially goalkeepers. Goalkeepers kind of technique. If you look at David De Gea's goalkeeping and how he talks about futsal, but everyone, Messi, Cristiano, Pele, Neymar, all them players has done it, you know, and it was very helpful for them.
Mm-hmm, right. So talk to me about the process of finding the courts for this league, because I know you've got courts in St. Pete, Tampa, and Clearwater they're going to use. What was it hard to find the courts to pull this off?
Yeah, it was actually the hardest thing. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of organizing, a lot of phone calls, emails. You know, people has helped me a lot. Some of the principals in Tampa. And I'm thankful because it's not easy to get, you know, like maybe 10 places for Sundays from 10 to 6 o'clock at the same time, because that's the best to have all teams play at the same time. But Pinellas Park and Rex, helped me with it. In Clearwater, different counties is sometimes different. Brunel was a bit easier because you go to one. I found it out later. I still did all the job and did to every parking red and parking red. Until I found out that in Pinellas you can just go straight to Park and Rec and organize it through one. But Clearwater was still running around different gymnasiums and trying to find out actually the best course. So there's no doubt in here. I want to let everyone know there's I've chosen the best surface in Tampa Bay because most of them are brand new, redone a year ago. And it's really cool. I've never played on surface like that. Used to be old gymnasiums and stuff like that, but the surfaces are really nice. And it's just simple. Put two goals and have the referee and play. But it was a lot of work, yeah. Which I enjoyed because it's something that I think would be great for everyone.
Yeah, it's kind of something I've heard Rowdies fans and other soccer fans in Tampa Bay mention before, that they would just love to see more futsal courts in the region. I remember when I was a kid playing soccer in Tampa Bay, inevitably you would get rained out and you couldn't play outside, so we went inside to play on basketball courts. There was no futsal courts or anything, but we made do. I mean, it's kind of funny, yeah. There's futsal courts up north, but there's very few down in Tampa Bay. I know it's something that a lot of people are interested in seeing grow in the region.
Well, basketball courts works exactly the same as futsal. It's the same thing, basically. Well, if you're talking about proper futsal, there's not even an actual futsal real size in Tampa Bay. Or maybe I'm wrong, but even if there is, there's probably just one or two. I don't, I can accommodate all teams in just one or two locations. So basketball courts are great size for the kids. And let's we gotta also mention that futsal for adults is a little bit different as well. It's much bigger, but for kids they need it to be actually smaller, so it's more realistic for them. Play five is more beneficial. So yeah, that's the idea.
Right on, yeah. So where can people go to find out more about the league, and is registration open already?
Registration is open. Everyone can go on the website, which is TB, like Tampa Bay, tbpremierfutsal.com. They can find more information. People that don't know me can, there's little kind of video for me, very short, and just explaining why I want to start it, why I want to have it, a little introduction about how futsal works and helps, and the locations, and obviously the registration where they can go and register. And again, I believe it's, as you said before, a little bit 5 minutes ago, you said, all the rain. I believe it's kind of summertime. It rains a lot in Tampa Bay, and it's really hot. So I think it all makes sense. Should be great time getting indoor and, have a great, games with a lot of goals. There's a lot of goals that are scored in these games, man. It's really interesting. And, there's AC as well. So that's a great part of it. And the rules are a little bit different. Now, I would love to go to the actual futsal rules, but it might get really complicated for the little ones. Probably the older, the teenagers would probably get it done, but there's going to be a little, the rules are a little bit different, which is actually great for, it's still promoting the players play more with feet. So throw-in is going to be played with feet, and goalkeeper is going to be with hands. So that, forces them to use their hands more and forces the players in front of the goalkeeper to play with feet. There's no side tackles. You can't tackle, it's just interesting, and just a couple more different stuff, but nothing crazy. So I think it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, it's fun to play and it's really fun to watch too. I mean, it's just a fun product. They're a little.
It's like hockey, man. It's nonstop. It's hockey, you know. It's nonstop.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fast. It's there's a lot of action going on. You know, there's most of the time their close to ball goes either direction. So it's like it's almost like, you know, there should be a lot of, you know, goals scored, and it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, you definitely can't switch off for a second. You got to keep your mind focused the entire time, really.
Yeah, and I also believe it's, you know, certain players, let's say, have friends from a different club, and why not playing with them in the same team? They have the chance to do it here. You know, me growing up, I have a lot of friends from different clubs that I always wanted to play with. So we would sometimes get together, either futsal or we go play on turf, and but that's, you know, it's different when you play an actual league and tournament. So you get to play with your friends at the same team, and you know, and not just for fun, but it's for fun. And you can, you know, there's gonna be, you wanna win it though. You know, there's gonna be medals at the end, and it's gonna be great.
Yeah. So I have you. I gotta ask, now that you're a few months into retirement officially, how you feeling? So, how you feeling with things?
I feel great. I feel great. I'm actually training a lot. I haven't stopped doing stuff. I play at least twice a week at BT Sports, which is a great place, BT Sports Academy on 49th Street. We do 66, 77. The turf is really nice, and it's a great workout outside what I do anyway. But to be honest, I mean, it's probably still early, and I don't miss it a lot. You know, I think I've done my my job with you know, playing the game. I've enjoyed it. It you know, it gave me so much. It also took me some of my, you know, especially when you want to be always the best, and it takes some of, you know, of your, sometimes you know, the mental part of it. It's not easy to be a professional soccer player. I really, really enjoy a little bit more life now, I would say. You know, and I'm not very crazy about my diet. I mean, I'm still, as I said, I'm really in shape. I'm enjoying more ice cream from time to time, but I'm really staying in shape. I enjoy it, and I can't wait to do stuff for, you know, still be involved in soccer in a different way. But as I said, I felt it was the right time to stop playing, so I'm now getting into maybe 5-6 months of not playing anymore. I still believe it was the right decision for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good to hear that you're doing well. I also want to ask you, I'm sure you're aware that the Rowdies announced that they are having a Georgie Ristoff bobblehead giveaway in August.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I don't know what to say. It's an honor. It's a special club. It's a special club for me. It's always going to be in my heart. The fans, the stadium, you know, that 6 years. You know, I've spent so much time in the with this team and that stadium. Spend more time with them than my parents, who live back in Bulgaria. So it's definitely something's gonna a place, team, fans, they're gonna stay in my heart forever, and I'm really thankful for that. I really appreciate it. It's an honor for me, and I can't wait for August, and it's going to be an interesting night. But I wish them all the best. I'm happy for the way they start the season. You know, I'm following them all the time. So it's great. I'm happy for them. I hope they keep doing well.
Now, the question about the bobblehead is everyone wants to know which Georgie hairstyle they're going to use.
That's gonna be Well, we'll see. It's secret for now. I've seen it, although I haven't seen it like finalized. I saw some of it, but yeah, it'll be good. It'll be very good. It's very, you know, there's love. It's very detailed. You know, it's everything the way it should be.
Awesome. Well, George, it's been great talking to you, and we'll definitely direct everyone to check out the league and just kind of get more info, and we look forward to seeing where you keep going in your journey now.
Sure. Thank you, guys. There's going to be something else coming in soon. Maybe not very soon, but maybe a couple of weeks. Something else I'm going to be announcing, and it's going to be good. You know, I enjoy it. I love Tampa Bay, and it'll be exciting. Exciting summer, I believe.
Great. Yeah, well, keep us posted on that. And you're pretty active on Instagram, too, so people can go follow you there, too, right?
Yeah, sure.
All right, Georgie. Thanks a lot, man. Good to talk to you.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
All right. Thanks again to Georgie for joining us. He even gave us a little shout out on Instagram with a picture of the pages from the bench. You know, appreciated us putting it out there. And I'm like, you know, if a legend wants to talk, we're always going to listen. Dan, you back?
Yes.
All right. I'm not going to lie. I'm actually like, I've got, you know my setup here. I've got three monitors here. I've got one screen open just like looking for futsal shoes. I want to find. Yeah.
Okay. I lost you when you said you were looking at futsal shoes. I don't know what happened.
I was, I've got one page open looking for futsal shoes because I'm thinking we need to do a follow-up story. And I think I have a better chance of waking up the next day if I go play futsal in the AC rather than this 3v3 thing you're trying to get me murdered on.
Well, you're saved by the 3v3 thing because I'm not even going to be in town. So I can't do it either.
And like the futsal thing's, I think, in like June or July, isn't it?
I think so. So we should be able to. We should set that up, find a way to do a
futsal
thing.
We got to find a way to pull this off. Yeah. Like Jake mentioned, like, you know, I know there's courts in Hillsborough and Pinellas. We've been trying to get stuff going down here in Manatee and Sarasota and really haven't heard any feedback from the people involved locally that would have to do it. So we're going to have to figure out some other way to do it. I've got a couple ideas that we're going to work on, but that was very cool. What hairstyle do you think is going to be on the Georgie bobblehead?
I think you got to go the OG long hair with the like headband.
So the open cup Georgie?
Yeah. The long before, like when he first got the first like 2 years, I think it was, where he had the longer hair.
Right.
I think that's got to be the one you use.
See, I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to go with the little Georgie Hawk that he had right at the end.
That's a good shot. I think you have to do beginning or end. You can't do middle. Like, you have to do the start or...
Just don't do, like, buzz cut Georgie.
No, please don't.
That's the cheap way out. I'm not here for that. But, I the shaggy Georgie, I'm good with that. Or stylish Georgie, I'm good with that, too.
Yeah, that works.
All right, so let's hop into our regular stuff. There's no way to get around it. We've said it. The Rowdies have said it. Neil said it. Saturday was a disappointment. The players have said it. The ones that we had a chance to talk to. Like, you know, okay, it's not a loss. We're still undefeated. We're second in the table. We're 2 points out of first. But you got to win games like these. You've got to pick up points. You've got to put some extra goals in the differential column if you are really, really hoping to lift the cup at the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it's an expansion team at home. I mean, they had a 16-year-old player, for Christ's sake, starting. excuse me. There was – we had opportunities. We had looks, and we just couldn't finish. And that was a winnable game. At home especially, and we dropped 2 points. I mean, yes, we're still unbeaten, like you said, but those are points that come back to bite you in a tight race for a playoff spot or a home playoff game.
I mean, I hate the result, but it's another, you know, we talked to Neil after the game, and you know, almost any other coach would have just said, you know, the give credit to the other team, do blah, blah, blah. And yeah, give credit. I mean, they're an expansion team, but it's not like these guys have never played before. Their keeper was Orlando City B's keeper from, 2 years ago when we played them. And we know he's pretty good, but still it's a roster we should be able to get one or two goals by. And, you know, we said something to Neil about, you know, what are you looking to see, or, you know, what are you going to try and change up? And he said, I want to see goals. Like, he just out there bluntly said it. Like, so hats, I was happy to hear him come out and just say it, what we're all thinking.
Yes, I agree.
All right, you're good, bad, ugly. What you got?
Good. Tenari was all over the place. He covered a lot of ground, was key to moving that ball forward, making things happen. Defensively, yet again, this team is solid. McCarthy, I think I spent more time watching McCarthy just throw the ball back and forth at the ball boy to the behind his net than watching right. him having to make a save, I think. That's great. Our defense is great. The midfield, decent. Finishing, terrible. It's just, we have two goals from open play, and both of them were in one game. The other two goals are sub of penalties. So chances are being created, but, like, finishing is just not there. And it's, I think, didn't I say early that I'd give us three games before that was done? Like, before it's an excuse that it's early in the season, because we're past that now, and finishing needs to improve.
Sebastian had that one chance that hit the post and basically trickled along the goal
line
didn't go in. And who was it? Drawing a blank here. Had the shot that was just wide of the post.
Leon,
yeah. And then I think he had another chance right near the final whistle too. Like, there were so many chances, and sitting where I sit in 111 behind the goal, especially in that second half, there were so many, you know, just the cross was a little bit too, got there a little bit too quick or a little bit too slow,
or the pass
was just a little bit off and was intercepted or didn't get to the player.
I think what you mean by the crosses being there a little too early or too late is the strikers weren't doing their job and weren't in the box, especially late.
Yeah, there's one I remember where Seba slides in on it into the box and is just, you know, like a foot from being there when the ball gets there. Like, it was like he just missed. And that's every single one of these chances are just slight misses. But, you know, it's correctable stuff, but at the same time, you get into a pattern like this, and I think it starts to get in their heads.
I don't know, man. It's been a problem. Okay, so there's two things that have been issues that supersede coaches and players. They've been a Rowdy's issue since we started this, and probably will, you know, go on. Obviously, road form. Sorry, maybe three things. Set piece goals. We don't do anything on set pieces, which I will say this. I had a note to talk about it during this segment anyway. There was that one set piece play where we short corner rolled it out to Domodoro to try to just smash one in. And I think the shot was deflected wide or whatever. First, my first thought is, great, I love this name. That's the way it should be. Second, why the heck didn't we think of that when we had Marcel Schaefer on this team? Why didn't we have like Martin Vingard or somebody else, or Nanchov or whoever else, roll a corner out to somebody, slide it over to Schaefer, and just have Schaefer just cannon it? Because that man, I mean, he was known for those kind of goals. That would have been perfect.
Right.
But anyway, that's neither here or there. Neil has brought some creativity to set pieces, so let's see where that goes. But, you know, set pieces are a weakness. And the third thing is, we're great at a certain point. The defense is great. We get through the midfield. And, you know, Neil was saying you make a couple extra passes to try to open the defense up. Yeah, great. But the other part of that, while you're making those passes, you need your strikers and wingers to make runs to try to open people up, and nobody makes those runs.
The movement off the ball doesn't seem to be there as much.
No, not in the final third. Their backs are to goal. And they just kind of stand there looking for the ball, and then they get the ball, and they have to turn, and that's when they lose it. So, and then late in the game, you had Antoine, you had Leon, you had, Tejada. Nobody was in the box. Like, the last 5 minutes, your job is to score goals. Be in that 18-yard box. Just be in a position to score. Come on. Like, it's three games into the season, right? Four games into the season. It's early, but I'm already frustrated with this because this has been years in the making. This has been going on for years, and it's just frustrating because it's just like, what are we doing? I don't know. I mean, we've had different tactics, you know, different strategies, different formations, different players, different coaches, and it's like the same thing. It's like, I don't know what it is. I think somebody tweeted it out some point from Saturday on about
you're going like full 12-man on us now.
I know. I don't know where this is coming from. I've talked so much today, I didn't even know I had it left in me. But it's like there's an invisible wall in that final third that we can't move. They just don't do it. And
right.
It's so frustrating, and I have all the faith in the world in this team and in Neil that like that's something that's being addressed, but it's something that it needs to be addressed. You've seen it in practice, and they do it in practice. They make the passes, they run, they do these things in practice. So why isn't that translating to Saturdays? What is the gap here? What's going on?
So something that Neil said, and I saw Chris Hockman, who used to work for USL, now still is in there, and he's been the one posting those tactical reviews and previews on Fridays and Mondays that I've been retweeting. And I think Neil said it to us, like Loudon came in here like with the game plan to pack it in and defend and try and go out with a 0-0 draw. We had a ton of shots from outside the box, and I don't have the heat map up with the average positions, but I wonder how much of that is that they just put so many bodies in there that wherever they're trying to run, whatever space they're used to. I don't know. I've been to one training, so obviously not a representative sample to talk about what's going on. I don't know if we practice that way. Like maybe that's something we need to do is play, especially with the way our defense plays, practice those situations, because it seems like at home, that's what a lot of teams, especially and we've got Hartford coming in this week. They're 0-4. They've given up 7 goals and scored 2. Like, I fully expect that they're going to come in and pretty much do the same thing. We've got to figure out a way to unlock defenses, whether it's, and Neil did it again this week with 3 attacking subs to try and, bring some variety, some creativity, some more firepower out there and didn't pull it off. I don't know what the solution is, but it's an ongoing thing, and until we unlock it, teams are going to keep doing it to us.
Right, and I think you should be able to unlock. This team has quality, but part of that is making the runs. You have to move the defense a bit. And I mean, Neil said it in his post-game comments about how, like, being a center back, the most confusing, the worst thing in the world is the constant movement back and forth. You lose track of guys, but you only lose track of guys if the other forwards are moving and making runs. Otherwise, you're just crossing the ball and switching the field and watch. It's basically like watching table tennis.
Because it seems almost now like and we talked about it, and you mentioned it, and Neil mentioned it, and I talked about it from practice the week before. The kind of focus, the idea of getting adding on an extra pass or two to set up the right spot. I wonder, is it a case where the forwards are just anticipating there'd be another pass and they still should be making the run anyway, but I wonder if that's what's causing them not to?
I mean, they shouldn't be anticipating anything. They should be making the runs to put themselves in the position so they can score a goal. That's their job.
Right.
And they're not. I mean, don't get me wrong. There were times where Antoine was making a run and people either didn't see it or they just chose not to for some reason, and he was rightfully frustrated. There was also I'm not criticizing the overall performance of the refs. I'm done with that. But there was a couple of probably 50-50 offsides calls or missed calls,
right
on that kind of slow things down a bit too. But that's part of the game. And it's just, I'm not, I think this is coming across as that I'm like angry, that angry over the result. I'm not. A point's a point. I'll take it. We are unbeaten. We're doing okay. We still look decent enough. Defense wins championships, blah, 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 blah. But I do think, excuse me, four games in, sound that alarm bell a little bit. Start working on it. We have seven strikers on the roster. Something's got to give.
There's got to be a combination. So that was one of the things I was going to get to a little bit later, but since you dropped it in there now, I was going to mention it. So in the day after kind of three things, the article that the Rowdies put out there, they mentioned, and they flat out own it, that the offense hasn't been that great. They haven't lit up the scoreboard, two from the penalty spot, one in the immediate aftermath of a corner kick. So really only one goal from open play. Neil says, at home, when you dominate and create the chances we've created, it's always 2 points dropped rather than one earned. Very, very frustrated. I'm sure the players are frustrated and the fans most of all are frustrated, and we definitely saw some evidence of that Saturday night because they come to see the team score goals and win games. I mean, you got to score goals to win. So we're having a different conversations if we converted our chance in the first half, but we didn't. And so they went through here. The Rowdies roster is deep, and Collins has used three different forward pairings already this year. Guinzotti, the Rowdies' leading returning scorer from last season, has started every match. Along Guinzotti, Tejada has started once, Brandon Allen twice, and then Antoine Hupino made his first start last night. Sooner rather than later, the right combo of players will come together, and hopefully the goals start flowing.
Here's my idea.
Who's your combo?
Here's my idea. Three defenders, seven forwards, and just play long ball. One of them's got to finish, right? Like, you have McCarthy, the back three like normal, and then just seven strikers. F the midfield, just hoof it and let them go for it.
You ever see the original Starship Troopers movie?
When I was young, I don't really remember much.
All right, so remember, you know, in the beginning, they're all in school, and the one guy's a teacher, and he ends up being like the squad leader later on. And he's like, oh yeah, welcome to the Roughnecks. Everybody fights, no one quits. If you give up, I'll shoot you, something like that.
Yeah.
There we go. Rowdies, whatever it is, whatever you're gonna call it. Everybody shoots, no one passes. If you don't take a shot, I'll kill you myself. It's the Brad Friedel philosophy there.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
If we have to start threatening our players, and then I guess that's what it'll be. I'm not really threatening the players.
Back to the actual question. I did like the Antoine Seba match, like duo. We haven't seen Saez, or however you say his name, and Malik has been hurt. So
right.
We haven't seen those two. Obviously, Tejada, fan favorite Tejada here. He's good. He's got an engine. He was the reason we got that early penalty in Memphis. But I like the 1-2 that Hopino and Guinzotti can bring. I do think Sebo was incredibly unlucky with that one that hit the post and rolled on the goal line. I mean, I think more often than not, that ends up hitting the post and bouncing in. But right. I do think, like, I would need to go back and watch it because it happened at the Mahaffey end, and we're obviously all like up in the I was up in the bleachers, pretty a few rows up from where you were sitting, and I'd have to see it again. But why wasn't like somebody there? What was his name? Was it Kate? Was it Townsend? Is that who I'm thinking? The one of the old strikers we had,
the janitor.
Yeah. A poacher that could have tapped that in. That was like, it hit the post and was rolling on the goal line. Georgie would have tapped that in. Georgie would have been right there scrapping for that ball.
So you're saying Georgie would tap that?
Yes.
You know who I think might be the closest to a poacher or a janitor on this team? I think it's Tejada.
Yeah, probably. He probably would have been. He's pretty scrappy. He's,
because he gets himself into those spaces. He gets himself into those situations that I think, you know, if you've got someone takes a shot and he cleans up, yeah, you know,
honestly, Lee,
I can see it.
Leon is the type that could have probably scored that goal. Most of his goals were like scrappy goals last season. I give him the benefit of the doubt there. So I don't know. I mean, I am frustrated, but I'm not hitting the panic button yet. But we should start looking at fixing this problem.
All right. Anything else for your good, bad, ugly?
No, I think I've said enough on that.
Okay. My first couple of good things, I'm going to actually go off the field a little bit. Number one, and Pendleton and I had a talk about this at halftime, and he went and did the research, and it turned out to be true. The attendance, like this was the – it's always been the second home game, whether or not it's in the middle of a long home stretch or the beginning of a home stretch, but it seems like it's always the second home game is the drop-off. Like we get a good crowd for the first game, the season opener, people have some fun, and then life happens. What size did you think the crowd was when you were there Saturday?
I mean, I already know what the attendance was, but
yeah, Mike and I were talking at halftime, and we're looking around the stadium, and we're talking about, you know, the sound, the noise coming from everywhere. And it easily felt to me like 62 or 6,300 at least. Turns out it was 5,893, but still, that's the highest second game attendance ever. And it comes on a night when the Rays are playing right up the street at the same time in their first series of the year against a pretty popular team, against Houston. The Lightning had their last home game of the regular season that night too. Now, you did have the possibility people were there because of the free parking promo from 717 and because of the free tickets the Rowdies gave away to people that were caught in the parking garage debacle from the week before, the home game before, but there's no way to measure those numbers. I was encouraged by that. I wish we could have sent more people home happy with a goal and a win after that game. But I don't know that many people were turned off by it. I had a group sitting in front of me. It's actually one of my coworkers and her kids and some of her family members came, and they sat in front of me, and one of her kids is one of my students. So I was talking to him on Monday, and I was like, hey, you know, did you have a good time? And he's like, yeah, I want to go back at the end of the month for it's my brother's birthday, and then we're going to go again in May for my birthday. So, like, they had a blast, even though it wasn't the most exciting game. And we've kind of lamented before having a big crowd and not capitalizing on it with the result or the type of the game or the style of play. Even though the game, you know, we didn't get a win and we didn't get the number of goals scored, the second half was at least exciting, especially when attacking the Mob end and creating a lot of chances. So, you know, it's a sign that it's still taking root a little bit, which I think is good. Like they're still developing new crowds, new people bringing in here, which is fun. So we'll see. You know, you've got Hartford this weekend. It's second game of a homestand. Looks like it, you know, probably won't be the same crowd that was there last weekend, but still looks like we'll have some fun anyway.
Definitely. I won't be there Saturday, but I'm hoping it's a good crowd and everything goes well.
So you just show up for your dog tag and that's it, huh?
Oh, man. I want to be there, but Saturday is a day. I got too much going on, and I wasn't sure if I was going to go anyway, but I got so much stuff. I got other stuff that I got to do. I will try to get home and catch it on the TV or ESPN Plus, whatever. And watch from home.
As far as bad and ugly, I mean, it's just kind of echoing what you said. Like, you know, so many chances and nothing to show for him. The defense, again, spectacular. I'm going to say this, and this isn't meant as like an insult or anything. I still have no idea how good John McCarthy is.
Right. The defense is so good, we haven't had to see him do much.
Yeah, work. Like he's barely been tested, and in preseason wasn't even really tested that much. Like I'm going off his coach's word in Philadelphia that he's an MLS level goalkeeper. Our defense isn't letting him get out there and prove it too much.
I'm okay with that.
As far as who I want to see up top, if we're sticking with this 3-5-2, I'm gonna go out on a limb a little bit here. Number one, I've never felt that Sebastian's like a true forward. Feels almost more like an attacking midfielder sometimes to me as far as the way he plays. I would like to see, and I know he's getting back to health, and he wasn't mentioned on the injury list, but we talked about Jaime Siage a little bit before. I'd like to see him and Tejada paired up, because if there's one thing, and then that's another thing that at least down from my level, there was a sound that the crowd made every time Tejada got on the ball, because they knew he was going to do something, and you knew it wasn't going to be a wasted opportunity. He was going to do something. He was going to have some kind of move when he got on the ball. He was going to fake some defenders and attack. And he doesn't go down at all either, which is kind of like they could have probably had a chance at a penalty if he goes down one or two times, or he's being set on or being marked in the box. He's got that opportunity to try and collect that. I don't know if he gets it, but he doesn't do that, which is cool to see. But it's almost like hearing a plane take off, the way the crowd started to react anytime he got onto the ball. So I'd kind of like to see what the two of them could do, because I feel like Siage is kind of a target guy. He's a taller kid. He's younger. He's not as big, maybe as muscular, maybe as physical as Sebastian, I think. But it'd be interesting to see what the two of them could do.
I still think Tejada is the super sub. With his engine, his speed, and that grit, that like a 65th minute sub when defenders, especially at home, when they're tired from the heat in the middle of summer and you have that kid flying at you, I think he's dangerous there. I
thought about that too when I was thinking about it, and because Neil said the night that the teams get they get tired in the second half. It's part of the reason why we were a little bit more open, even though we still didn't score. Let's tire him out from the beginning though. Put a few goals in and get him tired and depressed too.
Maybe, but I think Antoine, Saez, Seba, the Seba argument to me, I mean, he was our leading, what'd you say? He was our leading scorer from last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the form he ended last season, and I think he's got two goals already this year. Granted, there are penalties, but I don't think you can take him out. I think he's, and that's not just because I have a tattoo for him on my arm.
So hop forward real quick, since I wasn't able to find a seat at the what's the place called?
Yeomans.
The postgame. What was it?
Was it like Yeomans? Yeomans?
Yeah, Yeomans, like Cask and Lion. By the time I got over there, I wasn't able to grab a seat. What did he say when you show him the tattoo?
Oh, he loves it. I mean, I saw him pregame, and we agreed to take a picture postgame, and we talked a bit about the game, and we took a couple photos with him in the tattoo in my arm, pretty much. So it was cool. He deserves a little bit of credit for that hat trick, and it was fun.
All right, so getting back to what you were saying, now that I threw you off.
Yeah, no, I think. I don't know. I still think Tejada is more of the super sub right now. I think he would have a bigger impact late in the game. And I think the guys, Seba definitely, Hopino. And again, we still need to see some. I think Leon's also an off the bench striker right now till he's mm-hmm. fully fit and we can go from there. But there's that would be my, I think, group right now is the Seba Hopino. I want to see it, and I want Tenari, and the what was it? It was Steinberger, Tenari, Oduro, and then Jan Ekra in the second half. I liked that midfield trio, obviously with Leo Fernandez and Caleb Richards on the outsides. I did like that, but that center of Tenari and Steinberger is also unlimited energy. And that was good. Tenari, like late in the game, it felt like it was Tenari covering every blade of grass from the center right. line forward. So I liked the lineup. I think that was what I was hoping for the most. And they performed well. They just couldn't finish.
I thought it was interesting, maybe telling, that Brandon Allen didn't get the start. He was on the bench but did not get subbed in. As Neil's still rotating through these attackers, I maybe wouldn't be surprised this weekend with Hartford coming in and in the kind of state they're in. If Siaj is healthy and ready to go, maybe he makes the bench. Someone else takes a healthy scratch this weekend. I'm convinced there's a right combination on the roster somewhere. There's seven forwards. There's got to be a good combination on there.
I don't think I don't think there's a bad combination. I think it's trying to get at least one striker going.
Right.
And once you get one going, you can maybe fiddle with the second to get two going. And then as one starts to fade, you rotate them. You know what I mean? Like, they're streaky. Goal scorers are streaky. You got to get one to get that monkey off your back in the new season. And then it happens.
We can't have all of them on a cold streak at the same time, though.
Right. I mean, it's the beginning of the season. And I messed up. I think I said Caleb Richards on the right with Sean Barry. I think Caleb was in there as a center back, but I misspoke. I think, yeah, I mean, you got to find one to get going early. Seva's got his two penalties, but our other two goals came from midfielders. So you want to hope that somebody gets bags a goal soon, and then they start rolling, and then you can start getting the other strikers going, and you can tinker as needed. But this early season goal slump is starting to get a little worrisome.
Yeah. And I'm still, I guess I'm confident enough to say if we had scored one of those first half chances, I think it's a totally different game. I don't think it ends 1-0 if we score early. But it just wasn't meant to be.
Agreed.
Man of the match.
Andrew Tenari. Fully. He was everywhere.
I can see that. Fans online voted for Caleb Richards.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't a knock against Caleb. Great player. He brings a lot to the team, but that was definitely rigged by Norwich fans.
Oh, yeah, I could see that. contributed at both ends as Rowdy's posted the third clean sheet in four matches to start the season, completed more than 85% of his passes, and logged two clearances. Pop Daikite, second with 24% of the vote. Andrew Tenari, third with 20% of the vote. I'm going to go again. I'm going to give it to Tejada. I thought it would take a while, and I'm not going to say he's at the same level yet. I thought it would take a while after Georgie left for the fans to kind of latch on to one guy as the clear cut, like, favorite. It's Tejada. It's obviously Tejada right now. The way he's played in the preseason, the way he played in the first game against Memphis, and just the way the crowd responds to him. He brings some energy not just to the other guys on the field, but to the people in the stands. And I think that will make a difference in the end, too.
Sure, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I like his story. I'm glad he's here. But I don't understand why everybody has hopped up on that. Like, wagon yet? I mean, but that's just me. I'm skeptical.
I think it's, when I watch him play, I'm more confident that he has a chance to do something than it seems like any of our other attackers have yet. It just feels more likely.
I'm trying to be diplomatic, but it feels so far he's just a young Corey Herzog with good hair.
I thought you might make an Alex Morel comparison.
No, he's not. I like Tejada.
Hometown kid with some flashy moves, but Tejada feels more like it's going to pay off at some point than some of the others have.
That's what I'm saying. He's a Corey Herzog with good hair. He has an engine. He's all over the place. He forces some goalkeeper errors. But so far hasn't put himself in a position to score a goal, and that's a huge part about being a striker. Don't get me wrong, I like the kid, but I don't
understand. I'm giving him an assist on the penalty in Memphis, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's rightfully so.
That's the way it's got to work.
I mean, he took on that defender and caused it, but I don't know. I think from And this is going to be a kind of special shout out, but I think Hopeno, and not Hopeno specifically, a slide that Hopeno does where he kind of just like slid perfectly and hopped up and kept running is mm-hmm. Casey's favorite player. And by player, I mean slide slash move. And I think that needs to catch on more in the area.
All right, let's move on. Check around the rest of the league, the other results last weekend. Last Friday, Red Bull 2 knocked off Memphis 3-2. St. Louis 1-0 over Charlotte. We really could have used Charlotte to get a result in that game and help us stay at the top, but it wasn't meant to be. Indianapolis in front of 20,000-plus ticket buyers. Edges Hartford 1-0. North Carolina FC 1-1 draw with Charleston. Bethlehem Steel hosted and drew Pittsburgh 2-2. Again, we were 0-0. And then on Sunday, the game had to be made up because of weather conditions. Saturday weren't cooperating with Louisville. Louisville dropped 2-3 decision to Birmingham in Louisville. There's a lot of Louisville fans who are a little worried right now.
As they should be. I mean, this isn't the start of a season of a two-time defending champion. I mean, you just gave Birmingham their first win in your own house. That's a little worrying. And we got a tweet about how, don't worry, the Rowdies will score next week with Louisville because their defense is a sieve. Like, so it's if I'm a Louisville fan, I am slightly worried. I mean, obviously, it's still a long season. What, there's 32 games left or something? 30 games left?
34, something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, so it's not time to completely worry, but there's signs, like I said, about our forwards. It sounds some alarm bells, but don't panic yet.
So I believe all of the expansion teams, except for Hartford, have won. Let me double-check here, or have gotten at least a point in the game yet. Our current standing, St. Louis is on top, 3 wins, no losses, 1 draw, 10 points. Rowdies are in second with 8 points. North Carolina FC and Red Bull 2 behind us with 7 points. Indy 11 with 6, Louisville with 6, and a -2 goal differential. Charleston at 5 points, Atlanta United 2 with 4 points. They might be doing better than regular Atlanta United at this point. Nashville and Ottawa with 4 points to round out the top 10. 11th is Bethlehem Steel. 12th is Memphis with a 1-2-1 record. Birmingham, 1-2-0, 3 points coming in 13th. Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was a lot of people's kind of trendy favorite dark horse team to keep an eye on. No wins, 1 loss, 2 draws, 2 points. Good enough for 14th place. Loudoun United still hasn't won, but they've got some points now. Well, they've got 2 points. They've got 2 draws so far. 1 draw. I mean, 1 loss and 2 draws. Charlotte Independent still looking for their first win, despite being another kind of dark horse pick. 2 losses and a draw. 1 point. Also at -2 goal differential. Swope Park. We're kind of keeping an eye on them to see what the what really is the difference between the East and the West. Well, they're sitting at, and again, like we said, we're still extremely early. No wins, 1 draw, 1 loss, 1 point. And then Hartford Athletic, bottom of the table, dead last, 0 wins, 4 straight losses. Let's make it 5 this weekend. 0 draws, a -5 goal differential, 0 points. Hartford, like Loudoun, in a lot of ways, number one, they didn't exist last year. Number two, they are 0-4 on the season. They also are at the beginning of a 8-game road trip to start off the season. I think they're still doing renovations to their field up in Hartford. They will not be ready. They'll play their first game at home against Charlotte on May 4th. You would think with the record they have that, you know, they've got a bunch of unknown players or young kids or unproven coach, but looking at the roster, I don't know. I would think maybe they would have had a draw at least. There are some familiar names. And I, I must have known this one before, but just didn't just overlooked it. Kyle Karinga's in Hartford.
Yeah.
And he so got Kyle will minutes. Be back here this weekend. I hope he gets a good reception. He, you know, had one season here and didn't get to see it out because of injury. So maybe we can be nice to him the first time back. We'll see. Another defender, Sem DeWitt, played for Cincinnati last year. Midfield, a lot of players I don't know, which doesn't necessarily mean that they're not good. It means I don't have a lot of time to spend learning new players. A couple forwards. They've got seven forwards also. Jose Angulo, who I believe played in Oklahoma City before. Giuseppe Gentile, we've seen him in NASL with he was with Fort Lauderdale. He was with several different teams, is up top for them as well. And their coach is Jimmy Nielsen, who was Oklahoma City FC's coach. Oklahoma City Energy FC's coach, their first coach, and then has moved on to here. They give up a lot of goals, Dan. They've only scored two. They've allowed seven almost. Indy is the first team not to score at least two goals against them, or exactly two goals. Everyone else has. They've been blanked twice so far. Is this going to be the game where we make some progress, we make some headway?
No, it's going to be like a 1-0 win for us.
It's going to be a 1-0, like Mohamed Salah header that doinks off the foot of a defender in the goal, right?
Yeah, something is, you know, or there's going to be a giant beach ball on the field that it bounces off of and goes in the net, like, you know, old school Liverpool loss. It's just, I don't know.
That's like the third time I've heard that specific thing referenced, like this week alone.
I didn't realize it until tonight's apparent on-air therapy session, but I think last Saturday broke me.
I think yeah, like you seemed okay, like during and after.
Yeah, I just stuffed it down inside, and it's just bubbling out of like many of my deep-rooted psychological issues, and it's coming out in this online therapy session.
I mean, and I know I commended Neil for not saying it, but I think we do have to give their goalkeeper some credit.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah.
But other than that, we really should have scored.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I used to say that in high school all the time. Really should have scored. Never did. Story of my life. So what were you doing this morning? You said you think you were on an internet radio show?
I was on a Facebook Live show. I think the channel is called So Local Pasco, and the actual show is Hashtag Coffee. They're obviously, if you know me, a left-leaning, like, Democrat show.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
You?
Really? Yeah, me? You would have never thought, right? Like, I should probably, you know. But I was on there because... if you follow me on Twitter, I'm working on helping get the Pasco Young Dems caucus going. And so I have to be around getting the word out on as many local platforms as possible. So I did that. And it was 2 hours in a Starbucks talking about politics.
You just wanted an excuse to go to Starbucks for 2 hours.
No. I do think, I mean, and this is like political humor that I don't know, I don't care where you stand, but it was kind of ironic that a bunch of like liberal hippies are sitting in Howard Schultz's business talking about like progressive policies.
Is he still like pretending to be a candidate?
I think so. I think he's still on Twitter like both sidesing it. I don't know.
No one, have you gotten a Stick to Sports Yet tweet?
No, but I'm sure I will.
All right. Is there anything else we need to add to this weekend?
No, I think we're
good. Is that your prediction, 1-0?
Yes, it is, fully.
I got a lot of crap. I got a lot of feedback last week for making a 3-0 prediction. And then after the game that we didn't score, like somehow I'm a guru or something. I just got lucky 2 weeks in a row. 2-0.
You're saying 2-0?
I'm saying 2-0.
I hope so.
Us.
Yeah.
To go back at the back top of the table, at least temporarily. I don't know what St. Louis is doing this weekend. Anything else we need to throw out there?
No, I think we're good.
All right, I'll be out there. Again, I'll have the scarves. I have one podcast T-shirt left, size XL. If you want it, get at me. I've got a couple scarves from, I said last year's scarves. We didn't do one last year. It's 2 years ago. And I've got this year's scarves, and I've got lots of stickers and pins and patches and whatnot. If you want something, just stop by. You can do credit cards, you can do cash, you can do, you know, whatever. I don't know. I guess I can't do crypto or something. I don't have a Bitcoin processor or something like that.
Hold on, let me clarify. I think we have a buyer for the shirt.
I had one for the medium. We got that one sold. We have a buyer for the XL?
I think so. I'm just clarifying and I'm waiting for a response. But yeah, buy some more merch, people. Buy our merch. How much are we selling for? 10, 15?
10 for the shirt. Yeah.
10. Yeah, okay. We have it sold.
Nice. All right, I'll be over by the Skyway Casuals tailgate. Look for the people dressed as preppies. Apparently, Hartford has a preppy reputation.
Well, hey now, they also are my beloved Whalers. And by beloved, I mean, I kind of liked them. They had cool uniforms.
Yeah, if you dress like Whales, people might think we're North Carolina FC because they're the dead Whales.
True.
And that could be messed up. But I'll be out there. Come find me. Tweet me something. If you don't see me, I'll be around. All right. I guess that's it. We love yous. Who do you got?
Oh, boy. I'm going to give it to, I know, I think this has been several times this year already, but I'm going to give it to Mike again because I went to see something. My friend was asking me about how the Rays ownership works for the Rowdies, and I clicked the ownership tab on the website, and it was down. So I screenshot it. I sent it to Mike, and I said, this is what happens when I click the ownership button. And his response was, well, don't click it. So
I had the same thing because I clicked on that last week looking for something else. And then I ended up finding it was something that was about, you know, like, you know, the board or something. And then that one brought up the two Rowdies guy. I mean, the two Rays guys.
Yeah. So, I mean, shout out to him for his helpful responses whenever I need him.
I'm going to give a we love you because I wasn't feeling it the other day. Everybody who tried to do an online April Fool's prank, I've discovered that I'm officially at the age where I find them annoying. Like last year, I think I loved them. This year, I can't stand them. No offense to anybody in particular. I just didn't like any of them.
I did like the Rowdies little April Fool's.
I did, but like that one was obvious. Like some people tried to like be really good and pretend this was real. And it was like, no, that's just stupid. You suck. Your prank sucks. Your brand sucks. I'm over it, I guess. I'm really that old now.
I mean, you've been that old for a while.
Hey, being that old kept me in a job for next year, so I'll take it.
True.
Did you read that little? You read my little string going on there?
Yes, I think I did. I consume too much. My brain is fried.
It's been one of those days. And I have to go do some more stuff for work tonight. So, Mike, we love you. I'm going to throw it out there for the mob. Some people were kind of laughing, kind of rolling their eyes at them holding up the poop emoji at the sign at the end of the game. But, I mean, we've got expectations. And I'm cool with – and I'm kind of you know, laughing a little bit on the inside that we're this upset after a draw. Like last year, this would have been a loss, right?
Yeah, you probably.
Pendleton and I talked about at halftime, like if we don't score soon, you know, there's going to be some kind of crap sequence that's going to lead to Hartford getting a goal on the board, and then we're going to pack it and it's all going to be over. And for a little bit in the beginning of the second half, Hartford looked like they were on the front foot, and we were kind of fighting it a little bit. And I was like, here it comes. Something stupid is going to happen here, and we're going to end up being down a goal to freaking Loudon. I think I was saying Hartford. I don't know, they're all the same to me at this point. They got back into it and didn't let that happen, so that was good. I'm much happier being upset about a draw than being upset about a loss. But, you know, I don't think it's a bad thing for the fans to say, look, we expect more. You know, this is something that the front office, the ownership, everyone else should kind of be used to at this point. Like, we're paying money to kind of see results. And I'm also going to throw a shout out to the St. Pete Times. They're out. You see the article in the paper about the St. Pete reporter, the Times reporter who spent Saturday in the mob section.
Yeah, I saw it because after the game, our good friend Stephen Cundiff, I think his pants were a little tight when he was reading the article next to me, and I was uncomfortable.
I talked to the reporter guy as well for a minute because he was asking where Ian was from the Skyway guys, and I kind of wanted to be like, you know, you could throw a mention about the podcast guys in there too if you want to. I didn't do that, but it was kind of like, it was cool that they did it, but also I thought it was a really good article. A lot of the stuff they mentioned in there kind of sums up why, out of all the teams in the area that I could go spend a lot of time and money and effort on, like, why this team is the one that I do. So I thought he did a really good job writing that up. Hope he comes back sometime and just takes it in as a fan instead of as a story topic. But shout out to them for some coverage. Like, there's not a ton of coverage there necessarily after the game, because same guy posted a post-game recap, which if you compare it to the Rowdies article, is just a really quick rewrite. And also, you and I were the only ones down there getting audio from players and coaches after the game. So it was kind of weird seeing some of that stuff pop up. And that's when I realized he's got to be using the Rowdies article as like his base for that.
That was my bad.
Whoa, you're playing. What is this, the Oscars?
Yeah, I'm playing you off, man. It's time.
All right. I got the hint. You can go check us out on Patreon, which I still haven't updated despite promising that I will. I'm going to promise again. It's probably not going to happen, but I do want to add that Refs Against Humanity thing. Did you take a look at the link?
I scanned it. It looks hella fun.
It's a homemade expansion. It's not, I thought it was real for a minute, but it's a homemade expansion for Cards Against Humanity. I think we got to put that in as a perk. Like, at a certain level, you can like play Cards Against Humanity with that pack with us at a tailgate or something.
I'm in, totally in.
I think we're gonna do that. We'll buy the pack and we'll get it out there. If you'd like to have the opportunity to be a part of that game, you can support us on an ongoing basis at Patreon. Go to patreon.com/unusedsubspod. Find the level that works best for you and sign up. We would appreciate it. Just like we would appreciate ratings and reviews wherever you're listening to this at. Gives us some nice numbers, puts us in front of more people, may result in advertising dollars just rolling in so that we can all get. Oh, hold on. We gotta bring this up. You were the guy who said no more challenges, no more bets. And then between Saturday night and Sunday morning, like, I'm now in for two different tattoo bets. Did Steinberger give you that idea, or were you inspired somehow by talking to him at the postgame party?
Okay, I didn't want to talk about this.
I'm putting it out there. You're signing this up, then we're doing this.
I don't want to put Zach on the spot. But
did he say, "Where's mine?" when you showed him?
It was kind of like, "So what are you gonna do if I score a hat trick?" And I was like, "I don't want to do any more bets." And he just kind of gave me a look, and then it turned into that. I said that, and then he went and started talking to a couple other people, including Casey, and I looked over and started laughing because I saw Casey's face, and I know Zach was just like, "Hey, I just made a deal." And it morphed into if he alone scores a hat trick, that Zach and I will get small matching tattoos.
Oh, I thought you were saying that I was in on this.
No, no, no. Me and Zach are going to get small matching tattoos.
Okay. So that's yours. I have been put in for if the Rowdies win the championship. My two pole design that I have in sticker form, you know, the knuckle tats with a third star added somewhere around my waistline. Or as the kids call it, the tramp stamp.
Yeah, more tattoo deals. Whoop, whoop.
Why do I have a feeling that it actually could happen this year?
I mean, not if we can't score goals.
I don't know. I at some point, I think both of these can happen. I think Zach can score a hat trick, especially with a Steinbanger in there.
When he gets to two goals, he's just going to start laying them off for other players. I don't think he wants it. I think he wants his tattoo as much as I do.
You're going to be up there yelling for Neil to sub him off.
Pretty much.
All right. Thanks again to Wolfface, to Radio St. Pete, and to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier of MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. All right, Dan, now you can play us off.
All right.
I'll talk to you next week.
Peace out.
The runnies were there, the runnies were there, they kicked the ball around. The runnies were here, the runnies were there.